Oregon police say a gunman fatally shot a student at a high school near Portland this morning. Authorities say the suspect is dead as well. The situation's been stabilized. Meanwhile, earlier today in Seattle, King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg announced that alleged Seattle Pacific University shooter Aaron Ibarra will face charges of first-degree murder and attempted murder in connection with last week's shooting that left one student dead and two wounded. When these random shootings shock our communities, it's natural to try to make some kind of sense of them, and we often try to connect them to a trend. You'll see news stories asking, why are school shootings on the rise, or why are we seeing more mass murderers? Criminologist James Allen Fox says neither of those things is actually true, but the tendency to see tragedy as epidemic is helped by the nature of media coverage today.
Satellite trucks will be on the scene within minutes sometimes and carrying images of carnage into the living rooms, television sets of Americans everywhere, and giving the impression that it's happening just down the street. Where you go talk about a couple decades ago, you heard about it, and you may have seen some film at 11, but not the same kind of impact that it has today.
Let's break down these mass shootings a second. You mentioned school shootings. A few weeks ago, we had the shooting at University of California, Santa Barbara. Just last week, Seattle Pacific University. Are school shootings specifically on the rise?
No, they're not. Actually, there was a flurry of school shootings, you may recall, in the late 1990s, leading up to Columbine, which for many years was the watershed. Of course, now that's been eclipsed by Sandy Hook. So there was a string of shootings in the 1990s. But actually, if you talk about homicides, school-related homicides, and students being killed at school, the peak was in the early 1990s. Those weren't mass shootings. Those were largely gang-related incidents that spilled over into the schoolyard. But when you look at the data, there are, unfortunately, a couple dozen school children killed every year on average. But we also have to keep in mind that there are 50 million school children. And so the likelihood is 1 in 2 million. And kids are safer at school than almost any place.
What about statistics for mass murder as opposed to school shootings? Are those on the rise?
No. The mass murders we have seen since the middle 1970s, on average, 20 mass shootings with four or more people killed. Some years are worse than others, but there's been no upward or downward trajectory. So we can very easily get misled by a few high-profile cases into thinking that it's an epidemic when, in fact, there isn't. Now, I don't want to minimize the pain and suffering of these families who lose loved ones and of the victims who are injured in these cases. It is horrific. But we're not talking about an epidemic.
I'm speaking with James Allen Fox, a criminologist from Northeastern University. I'm curious what it is about these sorts of tragedies that make us want to jump on them and label them trends.
Well, there's a tendency to think that three things make a trend, but it's not just in terms of mass shootings. When someone believes there might be a trend, and then they do a new search and find other cases that fit a pattern, when in fact the pattern's not really any different than other times when we weren't paying attention. Now, in terms of something like mass shootings, the scariest thing about mass shootings is that they can happen to anyone at any time, at any place, even you. And the suddenness of mass shootings, particularly the public ones, are so scary to people because they feel they have no warning. And that's why it attracts so much attention. Compared to most other horrible events in our lives, we feel we can do something about it. We feel we can prevent it. We feel we know it's coming and can prepare.
So I'm hearing two things. On the one hand, if this isn't a trend, should we take comfort in the fact that really mass shootings are rare and we shouldn't be so alarmed about it?
Well, yes, I think we should. I mean, the good news is that mass murder is rare and not getting any more common. The bad news about that is that rare events are impossible to predict. And in the aftermath of a mass shooting, people talk about warning signs, or the warning signs were missed. Well, they're only yellow flags and they only turn red after the blood is spilled on them. It's impossible to identify mass shooters before they strike. There's a very large haystack of people who fit a profile, who are angry and hostile, and but very, very few needles who actually will turn their frustrations into mass acts of violence. So we can't predict.
How then should policymakers try to prevent any future mass shootings? Are you saying that that's not possible?
For the most part. These are very extreme cases, and again, very rare cases, and there's not a lot that we can do to prevent it. But, you know, overall, murder is down. All kinds of murder is down. The only thing that's up is fear and maybe publicity. So one thing about mass murders is they tend to generate energy to do something about a problem, whether it be gun control or whether it be expanding mental health services. Now, these may be good ideas, but the curious thing is these efforts really don't impact mass murder. So we'll oftentimes do a good thing, but for the wrong reason. Let me, for example, expanding mental health services. Why are we doing it? Are we doing it because we're concerned about the welfare of those who are suffering from mental illness, or are we doing it because we're concerned about the well-being of the people they might shoot? I think it's the latter. So we're doing a good thing, but for the wrong reason, in the process stigmatizing large numbers of people who are mentally ill as if they are mass murderers in the making. You know, if we wanted to eliminate the risk of mass shooting, we probably could, but it would take steps that we're not prepared to take. The total elimination of the private ownership of guns, for example. Locking anybody up who looks at all bizarre or strange or has a scary Facebook page. But we're not going to do that because we value our personal freedoms. In fact, unfortunately, mass murder is one of the awful prices that we pay for the kind of freedoms that we enjoy and the right to privacy that people enjoy.
That's Northeastern University criminologist James Allen Fox.